Mr. Carpenter, are you set to go? You reserved 5 minutes of your time, I see.
I am, sir.
Okay.
I did reserve 5 minutes. May it please the Court. Kenneth Carpenter, appearing on behalf of Mr. Charles Cade. This case deals with the question of regulatory interpretation, specifically 38 CFR 3.304F, in its general terms, not in its 5 subsections, which provides for specific sections for the general terms. Specifically, this regulation does not say that an award of service connection for post-traumatic stress disorder must be based upon credible evidence from the veteran. Instead, what 3.304F does impose is a unique and very specific evidentiary standard upon those veterans who seek through other
events. Mr. Carpenter, at the end of the day, aren't you just asking us to reweigh a factual determination that's already been made?
No. Because what I'm asking this court to do is determine whether, as a matter of law, when the VA wrote this regulation, whether the third prerequisite for service connection on the general basis, not on the 5 specific bases, does or doesn't constitute an evidentiary burden. It specifies in its own language that the veteran must submit credible supporting evidence that the claimed in-service stressor occurred. It doesn't depend upon the veteran's...
But it considered evidence, correct? Right?
Pardon?
It considered evidence. It considered the two different incidents where the claimant is saying that the stressors occurred.
Yes.
That he was stabbed and the helicopter incident.
Correct.
So your client was able to present evidence as to those two different circumstances.
And his evidence alone, which was attacked vigorously by the board as to his credibility, was not the issue under this regulation. The issue under this regulation was whether or not the supportive evidence from an independent source other than the veteran, in the one case, a woman who claims to have witnessed the stabbing or been there around the time of the stabbing, and the newspaper report of the helicopter crash. Those substantiate that, in fact, the events described by the veteran that were adopted by the medical evidence which supported the diagnosis and which linked that those symptoms which Mr. Kays has to the in-service event as attributed were related, that they were linked together. They depended upon the description of the event, not Mr. This last section does not depend upon Mr. Cade. It depends on other supporting credible evidence. And it asks for this because every one of the other subsections rely upon the veteran's statement, or under subsection 1, an actual diagnosis while on active duty, or under subsection 5, evidence other than from the veteran that supports that the event took place in terms of a sexual assault. The middle three all allow for the veteran's lay testimony. And if this were any of those other considerations...
But isn't this still... I'm sorry to interrupt you, but isn't this still about whether there a claimed in-service stressor occurred?
Yes, sir.
And whether something happened or not is a factual question.
I do not believe so, as this regulation is written.
I find that hard to understand. I mean, the regulation suggests, it, particularly because it's talking about evidence, and evidence is used to establish facts. And so if what this is talking about is submission of evidence to show a fact, then whether that fact was shown or not is a question that's reviewed for clear error. It's not a de novo legal question.
If the fact were dispositive of the entitlement, the fact is not dispositive of entitlement. The fact that is dispositive is whether or not the event took place. Did it happen? In the words of the regulation, that the claimed in-service stressor occurred, happened. The newspaper article in this case substantiates that the event happened.
No, but it doesn't substantiate that your client suffered the stressor as a result of the event. The newspaper article, excuse me, The newspaper article establishes that the event occurred at a certain time, and the testimony of your client says it occurred at a time, and his time is about 2 to 3 hours later than the newspaper. So the newspaper account did not support that there was a stress-related event.
With respect, Your Honor, that's not relevant under this regulation. What's relevant under this regulation is do the three prerequisites tie together. The lay evidence of the veteran is relevant to the diagnosis.
Wait. I think I now understand what you're arguing, but I mean, if it is, you're still not going to win with me. But are you saying that this regulation, we're talking about prong two, right? That credible supporting evidence that a claim in-service stressor occurred.
Actually, I think it was prong three.
Well, it's probably in the wrong order in my memo, but whatever. It doesn't really matter. But that's the language we're talking about.
Right.
You're saying that all they have to show is that an event that might be a stressor occurred, not that stressor impacted the veteran.
That's correct, Your Honor. Because,
but isn't that the whole point of establishing a stressor? That the stressor is what caused the PTSD. I mean, if a stressor, if an event occurs that, you know, if a veteran is sitting in a base in Alabama and there's an attack in Afghanistan, that happened in Afghanistan, it could be a stressor, but the soldier sitting in Alabama didn't suffer from that stressor.
Your Honor, with all due respect, that misconstrues the structure of this regulation. The three prongs are, first, that the evidence establishes by medical evidence a diagnosis of post-traumatic stress disorder. That diagnosis cannot happen from a mental health professional without reliance upon what the veteran says happened. Okay? What his personal subjective reaction was. The second element is whether or not there is a link between the veteran's symptoms of this condition and the in-service stressor.
How did that not happen here? It sounds to me like you're reciting exactly what happened in this case.
Because what the board did was to attack the credibility of Mr. Kayes. They said that Mr. Kayes was not credible. But Mr. Kay's credibility was necessarily recognized by the medical evidence in this case. The only thing that is missing is the occurrence of the event.
Can I just ask? I mean, I don't think I had quite understood what you are saying in the terms you're now saying it until you responded to Judge Hughes. I take it that you say that this particular component, the third component or the second component, the credible supporting evidence that the claimed in-service stressor occurred is, did some event happen without regard to whether the veteran was anywhere nearby?
That's correct.
So right.
Two.
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out. So which of those two can it be? The first is medical evidence diagnosing the condition. That has nothing to do with it.
Well, with all respect, it does, Your Honor.
The condition?
The diagnosis of post-traumatic stress disorder cannot happen without there being an event that causes a traumatic reaction to the veteran to support that diagnosis.
I'm sorry. I guess I want to understand that the first is medical evidence diagnosing the condition in accordance with 4.125A of this chapter, and then the second is a link established by medical evidence between current symptoms and an in-service stressor. A doctor is not going to testify about when this guy was in the Patuxent River.
No, of course he's not.
Okay, so it can't be there. Where in this three-part test is the veteran's connection to the event established? It can only be in the third thing.
But, Your Honor, it doesn't say that there is a relationship. It says there's credible supporting evidence that the claim stressor occurred.
Can I just say, 4.125A of this chapter says what?
That refers to the requirement for a diagnosis under the APA criteria for diagnosis.
Under DSM.
under DSM.
Right. So you, that has nothing to do with whoever is testifying. I now examine you. I say you've got along the following axes these conditions. You fit into this diagnosis. That doesn't establish that it is not under in that prong of the analysis that one establishes whether he was in the river at the time that he says he was in the river.
Well,
how could it?
Well, because it is predicated upon an analysis medically as to whether or not the symptoms he is describing are consistent with the diagnostic criteria under DSM now 5 to support.
Right, that's current. That's current symptoms and DSM diagnostic criteria.
Right, that are predicated upon what the only source.
But the problem is that the veteran can go into a doctor, exhibit all these symptoms, and say they were caused by this event. The doctor is not going to establish whether that event occurred. Right. They're going to establish whether he bears the current symptomology of PTSD.
So I would say it just slightly differently, that the medical professional makes the assumption that the event as described occurred, and if the event as described to the psychiatrist occurred based upon this cluster of symptoms.
Right. I get that. And so, but the problem with it is that under your reading of this, there's no place where anybody would ever have to show that the stressor occurred to the veteran. The doctor takes it on the veteran's word. Your view, I get that. I think that what you're reading is that because this phrase doesn't say credible supporting evidence that a claim in-service stressor occurred to the veteran,
right,
that the to the veteran isn't required. But isn't that just implicit in this whole structure? I mean,
no, Your Honor, because of the first two elements, the way that this regulation
Again, I think I have the same question Judge Toronto does. If we don't assume that this means occurred to the veteran, there's no requirement anywhere that the actual proof that the stressor occurred to the veteran happened. Just that it occurred.
Well, Your Honor, going back to 4.25, the diagnostic criteria requires that there be a relationship between the event and
Okay, I get that. But hypothetically, let's say, and I'm not trying to malign veterans in any way here, but let's say a veteran goes in, he exhibits all these characteristics of PTSD, and he says, this was caused by this incident in service. And it turns out that that incident in service occurred. Let me back up. Then the doctor says, okay, you got PTSD. But it turns out that the veteran has PTSD from some other thing. We may not even know, because the veteran wasn't even remotely in the locality of where that event occurred. Under your definition, the fact that he wasn't remotely in the locality couldn't bar benefits, even though it was clear that isn't suffering PTSD from that service-connected thing. He's certainly suffering PTSD, but we don't know where it's from. Isn't that true?
I don't believe so, Your Honor. I believe the way in which this regulation is structured, that under your hypothetical, if the VA were able to demonstrate that this veteran was not within the vicinity of the event that was established to have occurred and could not have had the reaction that the medical people connected,
right,
then they can go back to the medical people and say, here is the evidence that this never took place, or that he was in Afghanistan when he was.
But see, this is a problem. You're asking the medical, you're looking to the medical prong to establish a fact that's not medical. It's a fact of whether something happened. And that doesn't seem to me to be something that we would expect the medical professionals to opine on. In fact, where would you get the evidence? The doctor wouldn't have been, you know, unless the doctor was the guy's buddy in Vietnam, he wouldn't have been there.
But so that's where the uniqueness of this regulation occurs, because this is the only disability of all of the thousands of disabilities that the VA evaluates that requires evidence that the event occurred. There is no other disability.
Well, it's not whether the event occurred. It's whether the claimed in-service stressor. And the claimed in-service stressor was I was stabbed once when I exited an enlisted men's club, and then I found myself floating down the Patuxent or Potomac River during the helicopter incident. That's a factual inquiry. The inquiry was made, and the determination was that the claimed in-service stressor did not occur.
And Your Honor, that's not the way, in my view, this regulation is read when you read it in
okay.
the total context of the rest of the regulation. Because if you go to the five subsections...
I'm a little confused about what you're asking us to decide in comparison to what you asked us to decide in your brief. Because it seems to me like you have pivoted a little. Because even if we accept your interpretation of this regulation, whether there's credible supporting evidence that event occurred, whether or not it occurred to the veteran, is still a factual question, isn't it?
But, see, Your Honor, you're reading into occurred to the veteran.
No. I meant to be clear. I agree. I'm agreeing with you that the regulation doesn't require that it occurred to the veteran. It only requires evidence that it occurred.
Correct.
That is still a factual question.
I do not believe so, Your Honor, because it sets up a standard of evidence that needs to be submitted.
That I fail to understand, how whether something or not happened is not a factual question.
Well, the end is, but the predicate, what is being asked for by this regulation, is that the veteran come forward and submit creditable supporting evidence that the claimed in-service stressor occurred.
Okay.
That is no different than in the context of the statutory presumption of soundness, that once it's established that nothing was noted, then the burden shifts to the government to show by clear and convincing evidence.
Okay, Ms. Carpenter, you're over your time now, and I'll restore some rebuttal time. Okay, thank you. Mr. Tomlinson?
Thank you, Your Honor.
Can you, I think, address, and I know this is probably a little bit of a surprise to you too, because it seems like there's a pivot, although you're probably, you know, not unaccustomed to that. Address the view that that subpart doesn't require that the proof that the stressor occurred to the veteran, but that it just occurred, and that whether it occurred to the veteran comes in under the other prong of the medical diagnosis.
Sure, Your Honor. I mean, I was not aware that was the veteran's argument until today. But I do think, as you pointed out, we can think of a number of absurd results that would result from that reading of the regulation. It, as the example given, somebody could go into a doctor, exhibit PTSD symptoms, and say, I was stationed at Vance Air Force Base in Oklahoma in 1975, and I was in a plane crash, and I've had these symptoms ever since.
Why do we have to read something into this regulation? Isn't it clear? It says credible supporting evidence that the claimed, okay, so Mr. Case claiming something, I was stabbed exiting a club, and I found myself in the water in the Potomac River, that the claimed in-service stressor occurred. It doesn't say, and I don't see why we're discussing, it doesn't say that the claimed stressor event occurred. It's, what is it that Mr. Case claiming?
Well, that's exactly right, Your Honor. It does say claimed, and it also says stressor. And I think inherent in the concept of stressor and the word stressor is that it had to have caused stress to the individual veteran.
To him. Correct.
And therefore, it must have occurred to him, a helicopter crash that he was not involved in the recovery efforts of, or something that he had no connection to.
Or a stabbing of someone else? At least as to the stabbing, I'm having trouble even understanding how one could separate those two things.
Well, right, Your Honor. I don't know how somebody could claim something.
Well, his wife testified, his former wife testified, he never was stabbed.
Well, I think she did actually testify that he was stabbed, but that they requested that no medical records be generated in that. But her dates were different than his dates, and there were a number of inconsistencies in that story, as the board specifically felt. But again, inherent in the concept of stressor is that it must have occurred to the veteran. If not, we're setting up an unworkable system where a veteran with PTSD symptoms, which already deals with a number of stigmas and difficulties in going to seek help in the first place, is going to need to be questioned by the VA medical examiner to say, were you really in this crash? Did this really happen? Because as I understand the test that Mr. Carpenter is articulating now, it's up to the doctor to make essentially the factual determination of whether the claimed in-service stressor occurred or not. And it's not the board's determination, because the board just has to that doesn't have any power to determine whether a stressor occurred or not. And so that's just not a workable system, and it's a disservice to the veterans to put them in that position, and certainly a disservice to the VA doctors that are examining them. I'd also direct this court, Mr. Kays in his brief states numerous times that this that makes this out to be an issue of first impression, that this is not an issue that's been addressed by this court before. We strenuously disagree with that. And in particular, there was a case, National Organization of Veterans Advocates versus Secretary, that's at 669 F3rd 1340. It's a 2012 case. Mr. Carpenter represented the National Organization in that case. And that case was a pre-enactment challenge to this particular regulation, 3304F. And one of the arguments that was specifically made by NOVA in that case was challenging the credible supporting evidence requirement, arguing that it conflicted with 38 U.S.C. 3307B, the statute that sets forth the equipoise standard that must be met. There's no argument in that case.
I'm confused, but you said 669 F3rd?
669 F3rd 1340, yes, Your Honor. It's a 2012 case. There are multiple cases with the same case name, but this is the 2012
And with Mr. Carpenter, for that matter.
5107B is the statute that sets forth the equipoise standard. There was no argument in that case that there was some lowered possibility standard or plausibility standard, which Mr. Kays makes his brief in this case. And in particular, this court specifically held, we conclude that 3304F does not conflict with 38 U.S.C. 5107B, and went on to say, Section 3304F requires that in non-combat-related PTSD claims, credible supporting evidence in addition to lay evidence is needed to confirm a veteran's statements as to the occurrence of an in-service stressor. Section 3304 SR does not permit the Secretary to deny service connection to PTSD to non-combat veterans without considering all information or evidence in the record, including lay evidence.
What is it about that language that you think is inconsistent with the position being argued now?
I think it's inconsistent, certainly with the position he articulates in his brief, that there's that essentially the well-grounded claim requirement, the possibility, plausibility standard should apply to this question of whether there's credible supporting evidence.
Why is it inconsistent even with that?
Well, it's inconsistent with that because the 5107B standard, which this court is specifically saying 3304F does not conflict with, sets forth an equipoise standard, which is essentially
So you think that Mr. Carpenter in the earlier case where his client was arguing that the standard of 3.304 was very, very low, and that's inconsistent with the higher standard of 5107? That seems unlikely that that's what he was arguing.
No, Your Honor. He was arguing a lower standard in this case than he was...
So what is it that was rejected in the 669 F3rd case that's inconsistent with the argument now that 3.304F sets a kind of low pleading type plausibility standard?
Because this court specifically said 5107B is the appropriate burden of evidence.
For interpreting 3.304F?
For the ultimate determination of whether a veteran has provided credible supporting evidence that an in-service stressor occurred.
Okay.
And so we also have this, I do think it's true as far as we know that this court has not previously specifically decided whether 3304F is an issue of fact or an issue of law. Certainly the Veterans Court has several times in the Blackmore case and the Pentecost case with the other one. But there are multiple decisions of this court which interpret 5107B findings as being findings of fact. And that entails two things. One, it entails that the appropriate standard of review by the Veterans Court is a clear error standard of review, which is what the Veterans Court applied in this case. And it also means that this court cannot go back and re-weigh that evidence. It does not have jurisdiction to do so under 7292. The court has no further questions.
No. Thank you very much. Mr. Carpenter, I'll restore your time to 2 minutes.
Okay.
The issue is not that it being presented. It's a question of whether or not this regulation presents an evidentiary burden. And if it presents an evidentiary burden, then as Mr. Case asked the lower court, that question should have been reviewed de novo without deference to the decision that was made by the Veterans Court. I am not asking that the shift be made to the medical profession. I am simply observing that the medical profession necessarily makes an inherent determination of the event having occurred as reported by the veteran. What is relevant here is whether or not this regulation does or does not create an evidentiary standard, and an evidentiary standard that should be reviewed de novo. This is a very special and unique regulation that only deals with post-traumatic stress disorder. And
articulate what evidentiary standard you're referring to.
The credible supporting evidence that the in-service event, the reported in-service event, occurred. And that credible supporting evidence is a measure of evidence that the veteran is required by this regulation, different from any other disability, to come forward and present. And that should be considered to be a legal question and not a factual question because of the uniqueness of this regulation and the way in which it's structured. Yes, we can take it apart and we can develop hypotheticals about extreme circumstances. But all that is asked by this appeal is that the Veterans Court be required to review this determination as to whether credible supporting evidence was or was not submitted under a de novo standard, because it's a legal question.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Cohn.
Thank you very much. This court